Today we're going to be, we're doing our fourth session, and we are going to be talking about obstacles to liberation and change in Central America and here in the North among the immigrant population we work with. Once again, we have Miguel Castro, Jorge Calis, and Jorge Mejia, Rocio Robles, and Hector Giron, and myself, Gracie, here to listen to try to. What we want to do first of all is kind of get a list of some of the obstacles that we run into, both material obstacles and also religious and obstacles that through the social class divisions and political obstacles. We want to sort of get those out on whiteboard here, and then from there, each of the different participants are going to be telling a story of how some of those obstacles are being overcome in the work that they're doing. So I think I'd like to begin by just asking them to describe some of the major obstacles of liberation. How many of you were at our session yesterday? Has anyone been to, is this the first session for anybody?
Was Tuesday session your first session?
Monday.
Monday.
How many of you have been to all the sessions so far? Okay. All right, so we're going to have to give some background a little bit. Okay. Tierra Nueva in Honduras has been a ministry that has functioned since 1982 in Honduras, and it's a ministry that involves, right now, I mean, the Hondurans have had the ministry and been running it since 1989 or 88. As an independent Honduran peasant association. And the major objectives of Tierra Nueva, I'm going to let Miguel describe. Usted puede decir cuáles son las objetivos principales de Tierra Nueva.
Si los objetivos principales de Tierra Nueva.
The main obstacle, the main objectives of Tierra Nueva in Honduras.
Es llegar a las personas.
Is to reach out to the people.
No importando color, religión, partido político.
Without showing any importance or any discrimination of whether about their political party, their race, their color, their economic class, their religion.
Y el propósito también es de el programa es integral.
The program is holistic.
Lleva la palabra de Dios.
We bring the word of God.
Se le cultiva a la persona mentalmente y espiritualmente, cómo conservar el suelo.
We try to teach people how to conserve their soil. Okay. Tierra Nueva del Norte is a ministry that is tied to Tierra Nueva in Honduras. One of the objectives in Honduras is to keep people on the land, help people find ways of subsisting on the land and in their fields, on their fields, so that they don't have to leave the countryside to go to the big cities, or to come to North America as immigrants. But many people have not been able to benefit from programs in their countries, or because of various obstacles like land, not having land, or other economic or personal difficulties, people have not been able to make it in their own country, so they've left to come north as immigrants. So Tierra Nueva del Norte, New Earth of the North, is a ministry to migrant farm workers in western Washington, who are mostly people who are new immigrants who have come from the countryside in Mexico primarily to try to make a living so they can go back to their own countries with more opportunity, with an economic, a little nest egg that they can invest or whatever they can to start a business or to buy land or improve their homes. So we have thousands and thousands of immigrants from Mexico that are living in Washington State, and probably about 25,000 or so that are living in Skagit and Whatcom counties, or actually County Whatcom, there's probably more like 35,000 in the two regions. And our objective, I'll read from our mission statement, it's Tierra Nueva del Norte is an ecumenical ministry that seeks to share the good news of God's love and liberation in Jesus Christ with new immigrants and permanent Hispanic residents in Western Washington. So tomorrow we'll be describing that, or Saturday we'll be describing that much more in depth, the ministry of Tierra Nueva del Norte. But today we're going to be talking about some of the obstacles that we experience in the North in promoting our objectives. So anyway,
Vamos a hablar ahora de algunos de los obstáculos a estos objetivos.
Yesterday, we in the slideshow, there were a lot of obstacles that were visible, that, you know, that came out in discussion. And so some of what we talk about will be a repetition of that. But ¿cuáles son los obstáculos principales que nosotros miramos a la cultura? What are the major obstacles to change that we encounter in Honduras?
Quizás obstáculos materiales o económicos.
Sí. Digamos, hay bastantes obstáculos en todos los aspectos.
There are many obstacles in every area.
Hay problemas económicos.
There are economic problems.
Es lo peor.
And these are the worst.
Religiosos, problemas políticos.
There are religious obstacles and political.
Y problemas sociales que van
social class as well.
En primer lugar, hay mucha gente que quiere llegar al programa.
There are many people that want to come and benefit from our program.
Nosotros tenemos el deber de asesorarlos, de ayudarlos.
We try to help them, to assist, to give them
training. Atender a sus peticiones.
And to respond to their demands.
Pero tal vez este campesino no tiene una pala o una piocha.
But maybe this peasant who comes doesn't have a pick or a shovel to make the concrete drainage ditches.
Y no tenemos fondos.
And we don't have the funds.
No tenemos fondos nosotros especiales para eso.
There are special funds to be able to help them buy.
Hay un problema. Tal vez uno le presta su pala, su piocha.
So maybe we loan our own picks and shovel.
Al poco tiempo ya su para su piocha ya no sirve porque tanto prestado.
But then after a little while your old paper shovel stops being useful to you because it's all worn out. You can't loan it out anymore.
Para estimular al campesino, su tierra está terminada, está muerta.
To stimulate the peasants, you know, when they have their lands are completely exhausted.
Para comenzar hay que darle un poquito de fertilizante.
We have to give them a little bit of chemical fertilizer.
Para que comience a cosechar.
So they can begin to harvest something.
Y ahí pues le enseñamos a utilizar la materia orgánica.
And then we teach people afterwards how to use organic matter.
Ya se independizan.
So they can become independent.
Ya no ocupan la utilización.
They don't need fertilizer.
Sí. También dentro de nuestro deber está conocer si la comunidad tiene agua potable.
Another question that we always ask is to see whether the community has running water.
Tiene letrinas sanitarias.
If they have latrines.
O cualquier otra cosa, cualquier otro problema.
Or whatever problem or need they might have.
Ellos nos hacen la petición a nosotros.
Sometimes they make petitions to us.
Y ahí nosotros tenemos que buscar.
And then we look.
A Tierra Nueva del Norte.
We go and we look towards Tierra Nueva del Norte.
Pero Tierra Nueva del Norte no tiene capacidad para financiar un proyecto caro.
But Tierra Nueva del Norte, our ministry of the North, doesn't have the financing to finance all these projects.
¿Qué hacemos? Hay veces que Tierra Nueva del Norte nos manda una pequeña parte.
Sometimes Tierra Nueva del Norte will send a certain amount.
Y ahí buscamos ayuda en el gobierno de Honduras.
And then we look for help from the Honduran government.
O en alguna otra institución particular.
Or some other non-profit organization.
Hay veces que sí podemos ayudar. Sí, ese es de los problemas, digamos, materiales, pero ahí viene otro problema, tal vez otro compañero quiera explicar.
These are some of the material problems, but maybe someone else wants to talk about other types of problems.
Hay gente que a veces nosotros la visitamos y empezamos a platicar con ellos.
Some of the people we visit, we begin to talk with them.
Presentan la necesidad que si les podemos apoyar con Biblias.
And they want Bibles.
Y tal vez la cantidad que Don Roberto dejó se terminó.
And maybe the quantity that Roberto left.
Y tenemos que compartir la Biblia nuestra, la que tenemos nosotros, para ellos.
So maybe we learn our own Bible.
Y es una dificultad también porque les decía de que el aspecto esencial es lo espiritual.
What we believe is that
pero
the essential part of
hay que llevar lo material.
We have to work with
lo material.
Well, together.
Entonces, nosotros miramos una dificultad ahí que habiendo ese tipo de... Yo le decía a don Roberto que aquí en los Estados Unidos él cuenta con muchas facilidades.
I tell Roberto that here in the United States he has all kinds of
para proyectarse tanto en el asunto de la Tierra Nueva.
To project in many ways with the minister Tierra
Nueva. Porque hay facilidades de vestuario,
because
hay facilidades de Biblia, hay muchas
Bibles,
cosas. Y nosotros solo teoría, nomás la boca. Hablamos, pero a veces cuando nos solicitan, No podemos.
And when there is only sometimes is what we can speak, but we can't, we're not able to offer anything concrete.
Y en cierto sentido se pierde la credibilidad.
And so in a certain sense we lose credibility.
A Dios gracias que la filosofía de nuestro programa no es hacer cantidad, sino poquito y calidad.
Because our philosophy or our program is to do something not in large scale, but to do something in small scale but well.
Porque el caso mío, por ejemplo, en la comunidad donde trabajo sembré 15 onzas de frijoles.
In my case, I planted 15 ounces of frijoles.
Y cosechamos 153 libras. Algo que motivó a las demás personas. Pero cuando viene la lluvia de solicitudes, que cómo podemos hacer, en qué nos pueden apoyar ustedes, ese es un obstáculo que nos presenta a nosotros para cómo apoyar a las personas.
I have a question. Is everybody able to hear, or should we
missing
have
parts of what you're saying?
I guess
you need to stop and wait.
You need to pause and have your translation. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if we have some economic difficulties, one of them would be just lack of money. Another thing we talked about is falta de tiempo.
Pues en mi caso.
The first obstacle that I had was that I was not able to read or write. Because I never had the opportunity to go to a school. But there we formed a program for a special school for adults. So I was able to benefit from that special school for adults in literacy classes.
De que ya hoy pues ya puedo compartir con los demás lo poquito que he podido.
And now today I'm able to share with other people a little that I've been able to learn. So in that way I've become an active member of the program. And I've been able to visit many communities. And there in those communities I have the responsibility of sharing with other people. All the teachings that we've received in our program is what I share. Material teachings and also spiritual teachings. ¿Cuáles son los obstáculos que usted mira para que la gente cambie su escuela?
Sí, uno de los obstáculos que yo siempre encuentro.
One of the obstacles that I always encounter.
La gente piensa de que qué sabiduría tengo yo para poder enseñarle.
What kind of wisdom might I have that I would be able to teach anybody? There's a feeling of superiority.
Porque siempre volvemos a recalcar la misma palabra de ayer, que uno cuando es pobre, pues siempre tiene un grado muy bajo.
Like I want to return to what we were talking about yesterday, that when one is poor, one is always looked upon in a lower state, as in a lower level place. But this happens especially in our communities. When you go out to other communities, outside of your place, then the people they listen to you.
So
one of the objectives would be class indiscrimination or whatever.
Yeah.
Obstacles.
Sí. Algo más quiero hablar alto.
Sí, señor.
Sí, lo que más impacto da en la gente hacerlo nosotros primero.
What makes the greatest impact on people if we practice these things ourselves to change?
Tenemos nuestra parcela para ejemplo.
We have our own plots as an example.
Invitamos a los campesinos.
We invite the campesinos.
Damos el producto que nosotros obtenemos.
And they are able to see the product that they have harvested.
Pues la esposa le enseña a la otra esposa a hacer pan de soya.
Our wife might teach the other spouse, the wives, how to make choy bread.
Entonces despierta el interés.
And so interest is awakening people.
Van conociendo que uno sí puede un poco.
So people are able to see that little by little they are able to do something.
Eso es un proceso que cuesta y es muy poco.
This is a process that takes a long, long time, little by little.
I was in this session yesterday, and I am hard of hearing, and I didn't quite understand why the soy product. Is it for protein?
Yo participé ayer y no entendí cuál fue el motivo de promover la soya. ¿Es porque tiene mucha proteína o por qué?
Es inmensamente rica en proteína.
Yes, it's very rich in protein.
Mucho nutriente.
Many nutrients.
Mucho nutriente. Se siente la diferencia si uno va y se hace, por caso, chorizo de soya.
You feel the difference.
If
you're able to make something like
leche.
Chorizo would be what?
It'd be soy sausage or soy milk or any of those things. He's saying that you notice the difference between that and
si
corn
or beans
based.
Right. Digamos, si hace para té, para fresco.
Or even make a cold drinks out of the toasted soy.
Si, y se nota la gran diferencia. Si uno come otro tipo de comida y ahí come la otra, otro tipo de comida, se siente más, más sostenimiento, más peso.
They're more sustained by eating the soy.
Es súper. Es lo mejor que hay en el campo. Es lo que tenemos.
And I also might add that most people don't have refrigeration. They may have cows, but they can't go and just take a half a pound off their cow and eat that for dinner, you know? It's mm-hmm. like if they're going to kill a cow, then you're going to have this huge cow to deal with.
Yeah, feast.
And so there's really not a lot in terms of protein sources besides eggs. And then if you do eat beans, you got to eat quantities and then combine it with the rice. So there's the complement thing going on there with the rice and the beans, but it has to be huge quantities compared with the soybeans. So that's why has had a major impact.
Is soy a complete protein in itself?
Yes. Yes, as far as I understand.
It doesn't have to have dairy or anything like that.
Otra ventaja de la soya es que la podemos tener en un cuarto ahí y nadie la va a robar mientras que la va a tener en el potrero cualquiera de
ellos. Another advantage of having the soybeans is that you can have your soybeans in a corner in your room and no one's going to rob it, whereas the cow in the field someone may rob.
So theft is another obstacle.
What's that?
Theft.
Here in the United States, there's lots of respect, he thinks.
Golden Village. Golden Village. Tell them the big cities with money falls out of your pocket, you better be.
These guys were just astounded that our kids would leave their bikes thrown on the grass out in front and nothing would happen to them overnight. Now, I'm not sure if that would be in every neighborhood in the United States. At least in our neighborhood, they couldn't figure out why we would do that.
En el día las vacas en el potrero, en la noche al corral para cuidarlas.
Oftentimes they'll have to corral their animals in a pen at night so that they're close to the house and take them out of the fields.
Porque si no,
if not,
hay gente
there are people
que le gusta agarrar los henos,
they like to take what doesn't
la lleva al potrero y la monta a un carro
put them in a car and
y la lleva a la ciudad a descansar.
Do you also have trouble with somebody picking the corn at night when they're not there? Also, I'm just curious, what amount of land, square miles, acres, whatever, do they go out into? How much have they influenced in Honduras?
How many hours walking?
Quieren saber la influencia de Tierra Nueva de kilómetros, como de distancia, como.
Es incontable.
It's uncountable.
Incontable porque
immeasurable.
Porque no tenemos aproximado, porque son por montañas, por veredas.
It's,
no.
It's, you go, it's mountainous. I mean, you know,
tenemos
it's
que
sort of hard to measure
bestia,
up and down,
montañas,
up and down.
Digamos, un rato en carro,
sometimes,
de ir a pie o en bestia.
A moment in the car,
sí.
Sometimes.
Y parte que no entra bestia.
Parte que ni bestia entra.
Sometimes not even an animal can enter that area, so I'll have to go by foot.
But it is, you know, it's probably a 2 days journey on, you know, on horseback or something. Maybe 3 days journey.
From their house to
you know,
diameter.
Diameter, right? Yeah. You know. But you know, we're right in the center of the country, so it's really hard to evaluate what the impact's been, because it kind of circulates out all the way, you know, a long ways. And we've seen people. We've received requests from very remote villages. I mean, they're far, a long ways out. Wanted us to
send. But I think you gave a number yesterday of how many families have been impacted. That might.
Yeah, yesterday I was saying there were 2,000 families that received the courses that we offered directly. But then we assumed that everybody that received a course and that, see, our whole objective was for every farmer to have their own demonstration plot. So each one of their plots will become a model farm for their neighbors, right? Mm-hmm. So that each person will become a teacher.
So the old people who are slashing and burning, and the neighbor comes in and starts using organic materials in his soil, and hey, what did Jorge do? His corn's...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
oh, exactly. It's like the priesthood of all believers put into an agricultural promotional mode. Mm-hmm. Where, so anyway,
there
that's what makes it hard to judge.
What about the government, the Honduras government? Is there cooperation? Is there antagonism?
El gobierno hondureño es cooperador.
They own their own land, and your country is owned by someone else.
Some do and some don't.
Well, someone should talk about the land problem.
No.
There's not cooperation with the government.
Cuando se inició el proyecto,
when the program began,
tuvimos más bien problemas.
We had many problems.
No podíamos avanzar, no podíamos poner en práctica nuestra labor.
We weren't able to put in practice our methods.
Tal vez en sí el gobierno no sabía, pero los empleados del gobierno sí nos hacían la vida imposible.
The government employees made our life impossible.
Sí, y pues digamos que no, porque en ningún aspecto yo me metí en la política de Honduras.
I was involved in the politics in Honduras.
Y tuve muchos obstáculos por el hecho de que nosotros defendemos los derechos del pobre.
And I had many obstacles because
los
we defend the rights
del
of the poor
pueblo,
and the rights of the people.
En un aspecto ecológico,
in ecological,
económico,
in economic way,
social,
social
cultural, espiritual.
And spiritual.
Y el gobierno no está metido en todo eso. Está en contra de algunas cosas.
And the government's not involved in all these things, but it's against many of these things.
A nuestro pueblo llegan compañías mineras.
There was mining companies that came to our village.
Compañías que explotan la madera.
And companies that take cut the trees.
Y el gobierno se gana sus buenos dólares.
And the government makes some good dollars.
Bueno,
letting,
por eso, ¿no?
Letting these people do this.
Entonces nosotros estamos en contra.
So, and we are against.
Y me dice un alto funcionario.
A high functionary of the state told me,
no te metas con esa gente.
Don't get involved with those
vas a tener problemas.
You're going to have problems.
Apartate.
¿Cuándo dice esa gente nosotros?
Con tierra nueva. Con tierra
nueva. Yeah, stay away from tierra nueva. From us, from our ministry.
Que me apartara de tierra nueva.
The high officials told him to get away from tierra nueva.
Vas a recibir mejores ayudas del Estado que de tierra nueva.
You'll receive better help from the state than you will from tierra nueva.
Yo no miro, le digo.
And
no,
said,
la,
I don't see that.
Es una salida, es una solución.
I don't see any solution from the
lo
state.
Que he aprendido Tierra Nueva, no lo he aprendido con el
what I've learned from Tierra Nueva, I haven't learned from the state.
Sí, pero hay personas me dicen que no son buenas.
He said, but there are people in there who are not good people.
Él nos explicó, entonces, bueno.
So he explained to us.
Le dije, no, no.
Said,
sí, claro está, ellos eran empleados del gobierno, allá en espacio de explotación minera, explotación madera.
There were mining companies, there were timber companies.
Y muchas cosas que afectaban.
That were working with the government that were affecting our people.
Estábamos contra
we
la compañía minera.
The mining company.
Contra la compañía madera.
And against the timber companies.
Si tuve ese gran problema yo.
So I had a great problem personally.
Pero opté por apartarme de la política.
But I decided to get
gobierno,
out of the politics of the government
and
to stay with Tierra Nueva.
The distribution of the soy, back to the soybean, the distribution for these people to get started, how does their agency get the new family started? Is it distributed? I mean, they have to come and learn, but then they go home, and are they given so much product to start their own field? Is that how it happens? How does it happen?
¿Cómo sucede que cuando están enseñando de sembrar frijol soya, pero quizás la gente no tiene sus propios frijoles para sembrar la semilla? ¿Cómo pueden conseguir esta semilla?
Sí, siempre los promotores de Tierra Nueva siempre tenemos.
We use promoters.
Si no lo tiene él, lo tiene él, lo tengo yo.
The promoters always have some seed to be able to get.
Siempre hay una persona en Tierra Nueva que tiene la semilla, porque si tiene un problema, la semilla no se puede guardar más de un año.
You can't keep soybeans.
No pierde el poder germinativo. Esa es la más delicada que puede haber.
He's just commenting on how soybeans don't last for more than a year. So someone always has to save the seed from the year before, but somebody's usually always has it. Except in one place they lost it, I think.
El mayor problema que hay con la soya es que la gente que no está acostumbrada.
The biggest problem with soybeans is that if you're not used to eating it, it can cause problems in the beginning. So
it takes
a while to adapt to using it. Pero se adapta, ¿verdad?
Se adapta. Y otra cosa es que hay que enseñarle a la persona.
The other thing he's saying is it's very important to learn how to prepare the soybeans, because I'm just adding, voy a decir que el gobierno enseñaron a hacer la soya, pero sin cocerla. Entonces, sí. I was just saying how the government came along and was trying to do a parallel thing to our program and gave people soybeans but didn't teach them how to use it, so they would like be just doing it without cooking the soybean. They'd make soy milk just by grinding it up and adding water and then getting huge stomachaches. So that's why the importance of, you know, not only teaching how to plant, but teaching how to use the product is really important, and that's what the promotion has been after, is how to plant and how to use.
Okay, thank you.
What's
their indigenous diet? What would they
indigenous
eat
diet?
If they could be eating, you know, would they, before poverty?
Oh, okay. Antes de la pobreza, ¿cómo comía la gente? ¿O siempre había pobreza? ¿Si podía comer bien antes?
Antes de que tuvieran la nutrición.
Si había una dieta balanceada, antes de que la gente era muy pobre, ¿o cómo?
Yo creo que la mejor respuesta, yo doy gracias a Dios, no me canso de dar gracias a Dios por la llegada del programa Tierra Nueva a Minas de Oro.
I give thanks to God, I never stop giving thanks to God for the arrival of the program Tierra Nueva to Honduras.
Yo no tenía trabajo cuando el programa llegó.
I didn't have work when the program came.
Trabajo magisterial.
I didn't have a job as a teacher.
Y recibí la la capacitación de conservación de suelo.
And I received the training in conservation of soil and water.
Y empecé a cultivar pequeños pedazos de hortalizas.
Small plots of garden vegetable garden.
Y no sabía lo que era un silo, cómo almacenar granos.
I didn't know what a grain storage silo was about. I didn't know anything about keep setting aside grain in a silo.
No muy fácil saboreaba una ensalada fresca.
It was very hard for me to enjoy a fresh salad.
Y mi dieta alimenticia mejoró. Y un ejemplo clarito que tenemos de todos los promotores, si ellos pueden contar, ellos han visto el cambio, porque
the best example is the promoters, because they can all tell from their own.
El cambio no solo ha sido de material, sino que también espiritual. Todo el sistema vestuario, todo ha mejorado. Pero la alimentación antes era completamente no nutritiva, sino que solo sostenía.
What we ate before was not nutritious, it just barely kept us going.
Yo tengo una pregunta. Antes de que llegamos nosotros, como años y años atrás, ellos, la gente comía mejor, quizás, o siempre hubo la pobreza respecto a la dieta.
Sí, solo comía.
All we ate before was rice, beans, and
a veces.
Sometimes, yeah.
Y a veces.
Sometimes, just those
solo
three together.
Con sal.
But sometimes just tortillas with salt.
Nosotros hemos cultivado campesinos, una tarea dura. Le enseñamos producir más en poquita tierra.
We have a very difficult task, because our role is to teach people how to produce more in less land.
Sí. Tener todas las cosas en su lugar.
Everything in its place.
En su
the chicken in its place.
Reinero.
In its chicken coop.
La parcela.
The parcel of land.
En su lugar.
It is
el cerdo en su lugar.
And the pig in its place.
Y después de eso le dimos cursos.
And then after that we give courses.
Cómo administrar.
How to administer your production.
Le dimos el conocimiento en almacenamiento de granos.
We taught people how to put aside grain in the grain storage silos.
Le conseguíamos el la ayuda para traer el silo.
We received aid to be able to promote silos, grain storage silos.
Facilidades pago.
And we allowed people to buy silos, making payments to pay off the silos.
Y para eso pues nosotros tenemos en nuestra casa. Los silos.
And so in all of our houses we have metal silos.
Si es posible la forma mejorada para que ellos conozcan.
And we have the storage facilities now that are better for not so we don't lose grain, so that the people would get to know all that. Okay, what's that?
Religious obstacles.
Oh, another question?
Well, I said that one of the obstacles is because of the terrain of the land, for instance, could they grow peanuts or wheat or oats? And is there any attempt to reforestation after all this cut and burn?
In la tierra, si escarpada, se puede cultivar trigo o mantequilla de maní.
No,
cacahuate, pues.
El trigo es algo difícil de nosotros.
It's difficult to produce wheat.
El clima
the climate is very hot.
Hay algunos lugares, pero son muy pocos.
There are some places, but they're very limited places.
Estamos un poco alejados nosotros de esos lugares.
We're far from these regions.
Vivimos en la zona caliente.
We're in a very hot region.
El cacahuate sí.
Yes, peanuts, because
es muy bueno para el cacahuate.
It's very good in our region for peanuts.
Pues el maní no lo hemos cultivado.
We have not cultivated it.
Bob, yesterday you mentioned that you knew nothing about farming when you came, and there was a master gardener. This is a Honduras master gardener. Where did he learn what he did? And where is his information going? I mean,
yeah, quiere saber dónde encontramos don Fernando, porque él es el que enseñó todo. Y de dónde aprendió don Fernando todo eso, y de dónde va todos sus conocimientos. Fernando was a man who benefited from a program that was started in Guatemala with Guatemalan Indians by a group called World Neighbors. And World Neighbors actually worked together with some of the indigenous peoples in Guatemala to develop these methods of terracing. And I don't know where they got their information from, but Fernando was a person who was trained by a Honduran development agency that had benefited from, that had learned all these practices and had established a model farm outside of Tegucigalpa. A guy named Elias Sanchez, who's a very famous guy now, and he just died recently, but he was a guy who recruited us to work with him. He had a very steep mountainside that he completely transformed into this just beautiful series of terraces. And he had, you know, bananas and papayas and everything planted intensively, and vegetables cultivated to the curve of the land on the steepest possible hillsides. And it was just a model farm. And we would, so he basically found us Fernando. Fernando was a person that had benefited from his training sessions.
Who was also a peasant.
Who was also a third grade educated peasant. And Fernando had never taught anyone until he joined us. In fact, he was told by Elias, you know, this development agency guy, hey, I got these gringos that we want to send them out to Minas de Oro for this project. Can you work with them for 1 month? And he told us, I'll find someone that can work with you for the next 5 years, you know, indefinitely, right? So Fernando agreed to go for 1 month and moved in with us. But Fernando was so shy and so, he had the feeling, the complex that Jorge was talking about, that I'm a poor peasant and I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to teach. But he didn't want to teach us anything. We had to it's like pulling teeth to get any information out of Fernando.
Except for when he saw that our hoes were getting all chewed up by rocks, and then he realized we really did not know how to hoe. We did not know how to hold a machete. Then he started believing.
See, one of the problems in Honduras, there's a lot of knowledge among the people, and a lot of very brilliant people. Like Fernando, he's a guy that could be a nuclear physicist or some, you know, could be a professor of, you know, biology or something at some big university. He's a brilliant man, but he's never had an opportunity. We run into all kinds of people like that. They're just tremendously gifted people, but they've grown up in the countryside. They've never had any opportunities, right? Okay, so one of the whole philosophy of Tierra Nueva is an empowering thing, is empowerment. You know, our first objective is to empower people so that they can feel like they can have a voice. But empowerment also happens through knowledge, appropriate knowledge, knowledge that helps people transform reality. And so the reality is not something that's oppressive, oppressing them, but it's something they feel like they are you know, they have some control over, I guess. So, estoy diciendo que una de las cosas tan importantes es que la gente se sienta digna y que ellos pueden compartir sus dones. Y Fernando, en el principio, no quería compartir nada, pero poco a poco él fue liberado de su complejo y empezó a compartir más y más y más, ¿verdad?
Sí.
You know, so anyway, Fernando became increasingly alive, and I watched this transformation, and Gracie and I watched it. Fernando was a guy, for instance, we had this Bible study in our home, and every night we would get together, and Fernando would sit there like this. And he'd say, well, Roberto, one day he said, Roberto, what do you think is going to happen when we die? And I said, well, I hope that there'll be a resurrection. I believe in a resurrection. And he shook his head, and he said, no. He said, when we die, it's like the dog that I buried, my dog, Rayo. You know, it just gets rot. It rots and just gets eaten by worms. You know, I don't believe in any resurrection. I don't believe in any God. And he was this agnostic guy, right? And so, but he would sit in the Bible study, and I mean, it took months for him to say that to me, right? But he would sit silently. He was a silent presence around our table. And little by little, Fernando would begin to ask questions, and you know, make a comment. And I watched this transformation of Fernando from being, you know, this agnostic person who wouldn't participate to being completely transformed and excited about reading the scriptures and much more of a secure person in his knowledge and his ability to share. And that's really the whole process of liberation and transformation involves, you know, a psychological, spiritual evolution of a person, right? Which is what we're trying to do.
Yo quiero ganar una cosa. En sí, el trabajo que lo hizo fue la familia Erdo, porque don Fernando sabía mucho, era un gran agricultor.
Fernando knew many things, and he was a great farmer.
Sí. Pero no sabía compartir.
But he didn't know how to share.
No sabía cómo enseñar.
He didn't know how to teach.
E incluso decía que, ¿cómo es que yo le voy a enseñar a los gringos si ellos saben todo?
And he said, how is it that I'm going to teach the gringos if they know everything? He wasn't able to do anything.
Él no conocía, digamos, no se podía valorar.
He wasn't able to value himself.
Mucho. Pero para eso tenía que tener un cambio.
So he had to have a change in himself.
Deseo de enseñar.
He had to become a person that would desire to teach.
Ese cambio en él despertó a través de la familia.
And this interest to teach was woken up in him through us in that work of the script Bible study.
This time last year I was doing a farming internship in Wisconsin, and one of the fellow interns was from Honduras.
Estaba haciendo un internado ahí.
He lived a little bit further south than this young man.
Estaba.
And one of the things he talked about a lot when I would ask him about Honduras was the thieves and the violence towards fellow Hondurans. Things he was hearing about while he was gone in his hometown. And so my question kind of is, or if you could talk a little bit about this sense of everyone for themselves, or I'm taking care of my family, and that's kind of where my energy is focused,
that's a good question.
And how they, because I think there's some real cultural differences, you know, how you encounter community or not community with fellow Honduras.
Él dice que él tiene la idea de Honduras como un lugar donde la gente está tratando de protegerse contra otros que están agresivos y quizás ladrones y todo, y que hay una actitud que domina un poco, cada quien por sí mismo, cada quien habla por sí mismo. ¿Cómo puede combatir este problema? ¿Y cómo es que ustedes han combatido eso?
Sí,
para que la gente pueda entrar más en comunidad. Eso sucede en las ciudades grandes.
So this we see especially
en la capital, en primer lugar, Tegucigalpa.
En Tegucigalpa.
San Pedro Sula.
En San Pedro Sula.
La Ceiba.
En La Ceiba, all these.
Cortés, Choluteca, las ciudades principales.
In the principal cities.
De nosotros no se observa.
We don't see that same attitude in our area.
Somos bastante unidos.
We're more united. We're very united.
Siempre hay un problema.
There are always problems.
Porque el problema de la ciudad,
the problem of the city,
va hacia la misma gente del campo que va hacia la ciudad a buscar por venir.
The people from the country, they all go to the city hoping to find a better future.
Pero es tanta la gente y el gobierno,
there's so many people there.
De empleo,
and the government has not created jobs.
Ellos, algunos se dedican a robar,
so many people begin to dedicate themselves to jobs. They join bands.
De noche, nadie puede salir a la
at
calle,
night, nobody can go out the streets because of the great risk.
Entonces, es un problema social.
So it's a social problem.
Pero tiene una raíz.
But it has a root.
Sí, la pobreza,
and the root is the poverty.
Sí,
poverty.
La migración.
And migration from the country.
And so, just to follow up a little bit, so in the countryside then, there's a great sense of this spreading and, you know, you can help your family out immensely and your community and your village, and so the knowledge being shared, and there's no antagonism towards each other. Or
entonces en el campo no hay egoísmo, todos están compartiendo.
Todos no.
Not everybody.
Todos no, pero sí, pues que vamos de como dijera, de pobres, escala, ¿no? Hay personas que no tienen tanta necesidad de compartir con nosotros porque tienen lo principal.
So there's all kinds of levels of poverty, so there are some that really don't have any need to share with anybody because they have everything they need.
Pero sí, hay gente que sí lo necesita.
And there are people that are in great need, though.
Pero también existe el problema que hay gente que se que es conformista.
But there are also the
problems of people
being conformist.
Él está pobre por la voluntad de Dios.
Conformist. Yeah. They would say that it's the will of God.
Ay, es difícil lo que nosotros hacemos.
And they find it very difficult what we're actually doing.
Si no lo mira, no lo cree.
If they don't
tenemos
see change, they don't do it, they won't.
Y aún así cuesta mucho.
And even if we take
porque
them, and you see it, it's very hard.
Que él para eso necesita dinero.
Because they think in order to bring about change, you have to have money.
Él también vive trabajando a un patrón.
Maybe he's out working for some boss.
No le da permiso al patrón de ir a hacer lo propio.
And the boss won't give him any permission to go do his own job.
Que no le sirve porque no le va a dar resultado.
So,
sí,
but
so
he's thinking it's impossible for me to bring about a change because it's not going to bring about a result.
Otra barrera es el pesimismo.
Another barrier that we have is pessimism.
Mm-hmm. Es ahí donde el programa se tiene que ser optimista y saber dónde está parado.
It's there that the program has, we have to be very optimistic and we have to know from where we speak.
Yo lo tuve en mi casa, el terreno en mi casa,
place.
Porque empecé a preparar la tierra después de que recibí la preparación con tierra nueva.
I began to improve my soil on my plot after receiving the training to get it well.
A traer orgánico.
I began to bring organic.
Y empecé, y el vecino,
and my neighbors,
se burlaba de mí.
They mocked me.
Pobrecito Miguelito. No va a cosechar nada. Qué cabeza.
What a head.
Yo sabía lo que estaba haciendo y sabía en quién confiaba.
I knew what I
porque uno solo deposita la semilla, so, quien la nace, nacer, crecer y producir, que es el Todopoderoso. Y le di un tratamiento completo a la planta y cuando había producción, escogí las mejores cebollas,
I chose the biggest, onions,
la mejor cabeza de repollo,
and the best, heads of
y a la persona que me había criticado, se había volado a mí,
criticized me,
le mandé el regalo.
I went and I sent it as a gift.
I just want to comment how very intelligent these gentlemen must be because they have such a vast vocabulary.
Yo quiero comentar que ustedes deben tener mucha inteligencia porque tienen un vocabulario tan inmenso.
They do, they're very articulate.
Yes,
well,
they are.
I'll tell you one thing. The 100 people, they hang around, when they're done working, they spend a lot of time hanging around talking. There's a lot of conversation that happens in the communities, especially when there's no electricity. Mm-hmm. I'm so sad in many ways that electricity's come to our town ministerial because now everyone's got a little television, no matter how scratchy and black and white it is. People are glued in front of their TVs, and it's really hurting the culture.
Yeah. Instead of sitting around and telling stories and, you know, relating with each other, there's this TV. And oftentimes it's the worst TV, you know, the worst of the stations that you can get, soap operas.
How long have you and your husband been here?
Here?
No. In 100?
Well, we started in 1981. And we were there 8 years. for 6 years, yeah. And then we've gone back over the years. There's a question over here.
How long have these Hondurans been in the United States, and how long will they stay?
They just got here in mid-June or end of June, and they're leaving the 25th of this month. Yeah. Was there a question over here?
Well, earlier you alluded to religious obstacles.
Yeah.
What are those?
¿Quieres saber ahora cuáles son los obstáculos religiosos? Ustedes que creen que el que es católico cree que se le va a ir a hablar del evangelio, y el que es evangélico cree que se le que va a bajar a otro nivel. Entonces es un obstáculo porque ellos creen que es
que uno siendo católico qué,
¿ah?
El obstáculo es otra vez
que siendo católico cree que como se dan Biblias o algo, cree que se va a ser evangélico.
One of the obstacles would be if you're a Catholic and someone wants to give you a Bible, they might think you're trying to make them an evangelical.
Y otras personas es que dicen, aquí mismo en Estados Unidos, le platicaba a uno de los compañeros.
And other people that here in the United States,
yo no voy a Tierra Nueva porque soy católico.
I don't want to go to Tierra Nueva because I'm Catholic.
Y así sucesivamente hay obstáculos, ¿verdad?
But that's more of an obstacle here in North America, because in Honduras we work primarily with Catholics. Oh, wait, I want to give someone else a chance here. No sé si ustedes pueden hablar más de obstáculos.
Sí, sí, en cuanto a lo religioso, yo fui, ¿cómo se llama? Delegado de la palabra.
I was a delegate of the word of Catholic Church.
Cada vez me considero poco, ¿verdad?
I still do consider myself one in a way.
Fui rechazado por compartir la palabra de Dios, yo ya lo dije, con evangélicos.
I was rejected by the church because I shared the word of God with some evangelicals.
Sí. Pero antes de eso, me cuando yo recibí el entrenamiento,
but before that, I received the training from a delegate of the word.
Usted anda mal con Roberto.
They were telling me that it was bad that I was working with Roberto.
Porque Roberto es protestante.
Because he said why? He says because Roberto's Protestant.
Y un delegado de la palabra no puede andar con un protestante.
And a delegate of the word mustn't be hanging around with Protestants.
Puede suceder de que él lo evangelice.
And it might happen that he would evangelize you and convert you into a Protestant.
Pero no fue así.
But
yo sigo siendo católico.
I still am a Catholic.
Y él pues sigue siendo lo que era.
And he still is what he was.
That isn't part of your mission, though. I mean, to convert people.
No, people have the idea that
it's
just a perceived fear, you know, that if you're Catholic, you can't, you know, come over to our program, or that we're against Catholics because we're Protestants. But actually, that's not the case.
I mean, because in your Bible studies, I mean,
yeah,
you don't throw a Lutheran spin on it or a Catholic.
No.
I mean, the Bible.
Everybody's welcome.
Well, you know, we came in and we refused to participate in any of the worships. We consciously decided to not participate in any of the churches because the churches were so divided. And we didn't want to be perceived as being one
aligned
with anyone or against the other. So that's why we had our own studies in our homes. We had our own needs for fellowship. You know, but we saw that the situation was so conflicting that for us to associate with one group would hurt our ministry, right?
To disassociate with everybody else.
Yo estoy diciendo que había mucha división en Honduras entre las iglesias, y por eso nosotros decidimos no congregarnos con ninguna iglesia.
Also, we didn't emphasize we're Protestants or anything. We just said we work with everybody and we're Christians. Hopefully trying to be ecumenical. Because I think that the titles never help anyway. I don't think it helps to say I'm a this or a that. Or what good is it?
I know that I ended up with our Native American people. We have sort of discrepancy between our Native people, our Indian people, marrying white people, or having mixed blood within our Native people in the Northwest. Do they have that kind of any discrepancies within the Honduran area?
Well, they already are mixed blood.
In
basically,
Mexican,
are
marrying white,
marrying
white.
El tribu no quiere que, pues la gente de su tribu no quiere que se junta con, se mezcla con blancas. Mm. Y hay alguno, hay alguna actitud así con entre ustedes.
Sí.
Yeah, there is.
En Honduras existe una división.
There's a division in Honduras.
Hay veces que a las tribus se le puede dar la razón.
Tribes are, between tribes and the Latino people. And the
toda
tribes have
persona que llega a su territorio.
Because whoever comes
llega
to the territory
con un objetivo.
Comes with an objective. People that comes into the tribal territories come with
quizás
an objective.
Acaparar su tierra.
Maybe to take away their land.
O a saberla. Ellos piensan algo, ¿no? Porque sí, las tribus en Honduras están bien reducidas.
The tribes in Honduras have been reduced to very small
groups. Ya sus parcelas son bien pequeñas.
And they have very small plots of land.
Entonces ellos tienen razón.
So they have reason.
Pero nosotros usamos sistemas un poco sabios, ¿no?
But we use a wiser way of dealing with that.
Para poder entrar.
So that we're able to enter into these communities.
Pero sí es muy difícil.
But it's very difficult.
Es muy poco el resultado.
It's very very small results in the tribes. Okay, ¿qué tipo de?
En cuanto a los mexicanos. Porque hablo de mexicanos,
yeah.
Con nosotros no hay ningún problema de mezcla, pues.
There's no problem among Mexican people in terms of mixing with white people.
Uno tiende a buscar más a los latinos.
We tend to
costumbre,
to look for another Latino person, because that's our language and our customs.
Pero no es más visto que, por ejemplo, una mexicana se case con un
latino. But it's not looked upon, frowned upon for a white person to marry, for a Mexican person to marry a white person. Mm-hmm. What, ¿qué otro tipo de obstáculos religiosos se ven en Honduras? ¿O qué obstáculos miramos nosotros en nuestro ministerio en cuanto a la religión? Asking Rocío, say, what sort of obstacles do we have in our ministry in the north in terms of religion?
Es completamente diferente.
It's completely
Miguel
different.
Miguel dice que el, nuestro ministerio en el norte puede tener un gran campo y tiene puede, como que se puede ampliar más, ¿verdad? Porque no hay pobreza, porque la gente tal vez tenga ropa y esté.
You can think that our ministry would be able to do much more since people there's not so much poverty and people have their stomachs full and people have clothing.
Pero el ministerio ha costado trabajo pues acercarse a la gente.
But it's been very hard for the ministry to get close to the people.
No ha sido fácil.
It has not been easy.
Realmente los obstáculos son otros, son diferentes.
The obstacles are other types of obstacles.
El ministerio trabaja pues. El ministerio ha trabajado con gente campesina y con reos.
The ministry has worked with peasant people, farm workers, and also with inmates.
Entre ellos, pues, los obstáculos tienen que ser diferentes.
And between them, the obstacles have to be different.
En los campesinos, la gente es desconfiada, muy desconfiada.
Among the farm workers, the people are very distrustful.
Llega al ministerio y llega, pero casi que no quiere entrar.
The ministry comes and they hardly want to enter in. We go out into the migrant camps.
Y jalarlos, pues.
And we have to practically drag them in.
Pero, pues la gente que ahorita en esta época, la gente trabaja mucho.
And in this period, people work very, very hard. Anyhow.
Even Sundays.
And even on Sundays.
Hasta los domingos, entonces. Eso a veces es un problema.
And this is also a problem.
Para que vayan, por ejemplo, a un
how can they come to a Bible study if they're working at home?
Ahora, los que salen de las cárceles a veces llegan al ministerio, pero pues los obstáculos
people
ellos son diferentes.
Come out of the jails, they oftentimes come to our ministry, but the obstacles that they have are different.
Por ejemplo, drogas.
Drugs.
Alcohol. En mujeres.
Women.
Entonces, esos son los obstáculos que prácticamente en Honduras hace conocer.
These are obstacles in Honduras that aren't necessarily obstacles.
Well, the obstacles that you don't have on the board is literacy, which they have mentioned.
Yeah, I haven't really put that anything with this book.
Do we have to talk about some of the local things, like the fraternities, which are
Yeah, we should talk about that a little bit. One of the, as I was, we were mentioning, one of the great, there's so much religious division in Honduras, and one of the things that we've done in Honduras is we mainly promoted the study of the scriptures as a way to across the board, Catholic, Protestant, everybody, in a non-tendentious study of the scriptures, which, you know, more of a liberating read of the scriptures. Like I was talking yesterday about how instead of, we made a rule of not talking about what we're supposed to do, because that's kind of what divides us, but talking about what God has done and who God is, who is God according to the text, and what's God done for us according to the text. And that's helped in terms of being able to create ecumenical Bible study groups with people who are outsiders to the church. But still, one of the big obstacles is that people see God as this God with a big stick who, you know, was ready to punish you for any sin that you might be involved in, right? Anyway, one of the ways that we've had some success in promoting scripture studies through the spiritual fraternity that Gracie and I are members of, is based in France, called Les Veilleurs, the Watchpersons, which involves a daily list of readings, morning, noon, and evening. Actually, morning and evening are the main readings, and then noon is a reading of the Beatitudes. And so we translate this list from French into Spanish, and Rocio actually does all the translating and sends it to about 35 different members people have become members in Honduras. And some of these people have taken the list, and most all the members, they read it on a daily basis. And that's a way, since we know we're all reading the same scriptures along with all these hundreds of people in France and Belgium and Switzerland, and a number of members here in the United States, that creates sort of a spiritual community, so people can be reading the same scriptures on a daily basis. And then the Beatitudes, we have little cards that we've made that people can carry in their carry with them to the fields or whatever, that have the readings of the Beatitudes in Spanish that they can read. And one example of how this has been used is a story from Hector. He roams the village, and he's feeling a little sick today. He doesn't feel like he wanted to share it. I want to share it for him. Pero Rocío, si usted puede traducir, por favor, a ver si él me va a ayudar con la historia. In his village, there was a man, his brother-in-law was dying of AIDS. He came back, he'd been a truck driver for many, many years, and gone all over, and was fairly promiscuous, as many truck drivers are, and had contracted the AIDS virus. And he was pretty advanced in his AIDS when he came into back to the village. It's a very remote village where he lives, at the very, very end of a kind of back corner of one of the departments, bordering on the back, furthest kind of little corner of another one of the apartments. It's a very remote place. So the man came back, and Hector tells me the story of how he would go with his readings, with his Bible and his daily list of readings, and offer to read to his brother-in-law. But his brother-in-law at first would just turn on the ranchero music and just say, no, you know, I don't have any time for that. But Hector persisted and began to read, offer to read to the man. The man accepted that he read to him. And little by little, day after day, Hector would keep going back and reading his daily readings to the man. And soon the family were listening from the sides and were hearing the readings and began to come closer. And a group began to form around this dying man that began to meet every afternoon, every evening. And the group grew to include about 25 people. And it began to include the delegate of the Word from the Catholic Church, who brought his guitar, and Hector, he owns his own son, and other family members, and a professor from the school who was kind of he was a drunk, a serious alcoholic, and who was having a real hard time. All these different people began to gather around and began to be impacted by the daily readings. And then the worship, the singing, it went on with this. And at the end, the man came to a place of total peace. And died in joy. And then the community said, what are we going to do? We're not going to celebrate the novenario, se dice? Novenario? Ustedes decidieron no hacer novenario, ¿verdad?
Sí.
So they decided to not do the novenario, which is this. What is
¿qué es un novenario? Novenario es una cosa que acostumbran en
the traditional Catholic communities, they'll pray for the dead for 9 days, and to do prayers and
a Dios para que ayude a esa persona.
So the idea is to pray to God to help that person who died.
Tradiciones que sí.
And these are traditions that continue in our practice.
Nosotros dispusimos que no íbamos a hacer eso.
But we decided we weren't going to do this.
Que casi que quedaba sin valor.
We just didn't feel like we had the courage to do it.
Que era mejor.
Oh, no, they said, excuse me, he felt like there was no value in doing it. But just to continue with our Bible studies instead. So there, that's where we began the Bible study group that we continue to have today. ¿Hace cuántos años?
Hace 4 años.
This was 4 years ago. And this group meets, este grupo se reúne cuántas veces por semana?
Dos veces por semana,
bien, y dos veces por semana.
Domingo, y dos veces por semana.
Y después se reúne otros días, ¿no?
Ahí se reúne, en fin, que todas las semanas está ocupada.
Yeah, they used to meet every single night of the week, but now they meet for a Bible study every other night, and every other night they have a celebration of the Word, which is more of a worship service. And so they meet every single night of the week. This community is about, ¿cuántas personas hay ahora? About 25 people, and all of them have become members of the spiritual fraternity. It's just amazing. ¿Y cuáles han sido los resultados en su comunidad de este grupo? I'm asking what the results have been of this group in this community.
Bueno, para mí, positivo.
Very positive results.
Porque el esfuerzo que he ido fue no fue malo.
Because the efforts that we put out for that to get this going more in vain.
Están ahorita muy fuertes. Se consideran como violadores.
The people are very strong and they now consider themselves as veyers, or spirit, members of the spiritual fraternity. What time is it?
It's 10 to 1.
Yeah. I think we have to wrap this up. So anyway, I feel like we barely scratched on all of the things, but you know, the whole process of change and liberation is a very, very fragile and precarious process that involves fighting on so many different fronts. You know, I mean, you think that just helping people improve their production of beans and corn would be simple, but when it involves training local people to be teachers, and people who feel like they have nothing to teach and they have nothing to offer and that they're nobodies, and people who are submerged in alcoholism and you know, and other self-destructive kind of pessimistic attitudes. You know, it's the empowering that has to take place for people to feel strong enough in themselves and trusting enough in themselves and in God to be able to make the improvements on their own land and then be able to go out and teach that. You know, that just right there, there's plenty to do, right? And then the counter forces of opposition that come against you when you know, from the church or from the state, when you begin to promote, you know, when liberation really begins to happen. Create new obstacles, right? So it's a constant process. I hope you've been able to get a sense of that in these discussions.